Well, good morning. Good morning, everybody. I hope you all doing well this Sunday morning here in California. We've had a lot of rain. Now the sun is coming out. It's beautiful. It's sunny. It's hot. And this may be something that we are looking forward to, or we will see for the summer. So thank you for everybody coming in to the teleconference or telephone service today. We want to start with a couple of references of the Bible. If you would like to just point your finger or just a quick note, we will be reading today from Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, Mark chapter 5, that's Mark chapter 5, and as well as Luke chapter 8. Now, in these three Gospels, for the exception of John, we see the same story of an incredible woman of faith. As you know, last time I spoke about a man, a Gentile, the centurion, and what happened in that story. And now I will speak about Jesus' incredible miracles in the life of a faithful woman. And it seems to be a pattern for Christ. As I think about this, I know we look at Paul as a minister for the Gentiles, but Jesus really started his ministry and doing things after the Sermon on the Mount, healing, demonstrating his power, and demonstrating his deity as God, and the power manifested in all these incredible miracles that happened after the Sermon of the Mount. So we know that the great crowds were following Christ all over the place. At one time, a specific region said and pleaded to Christ to leave. They missed the miracle of the two demon-possessed men and felt, perhaps, the Bible doesn't describe it, but perhaps the people in that region felt that Christ was an economical barrier for them because the pigs, as you know, went into the sea and drowned. The people in that region did not see the power of Christ demonstrated in the lives of these two men that were demon-possessed. Rather, they saw Jesus as a liability, as a man that perhaps could interfere in their wealth. And yet others in several areas welcomed Jesus to stay with him, to eat with him. And we see that in Matthew's story with the tax collector. You see his miracle calling out Matthew, and then Matthew inviting Christ to his home. And then the Pharisees criticizing him because he ate with sinners and tax collectors. So we see also people that are falling in love with Christ and inviting them into his home, into their home, so that Jesus could eat and drink with them and have fellowship. Today, as it seems, a pattern in Christ, traveling, walking with his disciples, people are coming to him, people are requesting his miracles, requesting that he heal daughters and children and people and servants. But in this case, this beautiful woman, this faithful woman, was not in the crowd. And I want to point out that because many people follow Christ, but are we truly in a relationship with Christ? Many of us claim to be of Christ or claim to be believers of Christ, but have we touched Christ? Has Christ touched us? And what's the evidence of that? The evidence of that is when we encounter Christ, we are a transformed human being. We are a regenerated being. We are a new creation. When Christ touches us, when we touch Christ, we are no longer the same. And for this woman, she was never the same. She was never the same. She truly understood the power of Christ. So let's begin. Before I go into Matthew 9, I just want to say this because it's important to me and for you to be reminded. Let me read Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let me repeat that again. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is how he demonstrates his love. It is not when you repented. It is not when you changed all these things or you got your house cleaned up. When we were still in sin, Christ died for you and me. And that compelled us, right? That compelled us to repent. That compelled us to change and be transformed. This incredible act of love by giving his son on the cross, as we just celebrated the death, the burial, and the resurrection. As Isaiah says, the stripes that he received, the beatings he received, that healed us spiritually. So because of that, and because you've been in an encounter with Christ and your life has been changed, you and I are a walking miracle. You are a miracle. If you've accepted Christ, you've transformed your life, and you're no longer the same person. It doesn't mean that you're not going to struggle and fight the challenges of life and trials. Whoever tells you that the Christian life will be full of peace and flowers and blooms and rainbows all day, it's not the gospel. You will have trials and tribulations. You will have suffering as a Christian. You will have persecution. But let us take heart. Christ is our overcomer. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. Let's see what this woman is, who she is, why she's approaching Christ, why she wants to touch him. And in Matthew 9, the NIV says in verse 18, so let's begin with Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. It reads, in 1 minute, we'll get a drink of water here. If you just come, welcome. We began our service, and thank you for everybody being mute on the phone. And Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, it reads, in the NIV, while he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and kneeled before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her, and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, so did his disciples. So we see that in the beginning of the story, Christ is on a mission with his disciples to go and, again, perform an incredible miracle, which is literally resuscitate a woman, a daughter, a young girl, perhaps. Doesn't say the age. But he's going on the way to perform a miracle with his disciples. But on the way there, he encounters this woman. And in verse 20, it reads, "Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloth. She said to herself, 'If I only touch his cloth, I will be healed.' Jesus turned and saw her," in verse 22. Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. Now, we have to understand that Jesus did not intend, or it was not in his plans to heal this woman. But it was the actions of this woman that moved Christ. You see, when Christ was here on earth, there are people, individuals that moved him. And also, absolutely, there were individuals that were moved by Christ's miraculous power and healing. So, who is this woman? And why does she need healing? As we know in this scripture, we know that she was bleeding for 12 years. She was in a state of great desperation. And we will read now Mark chapter 5, because Mark gives us a little bit of more detail as far as who this woman was and what was her circumstance and what did she do about her physical condition. And let's go there in Mark chapter 5. I'll let you go to the next book, which is Matthew, Mark, and then we'll conclude with Luke. But Mark chapter 5 says this. Mark chapter 5 in the NIV, verse 24. Again, the same story about this ruler, and his name was Jairus. The same story. In Mark chapter 5, he describes it and gives us a name. So in verse 20, in verse 22, it says that one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus, and we know his name, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." It gives us a little bit more description of what the request of this man was for Jesus. So Jesus went with him. Now, in Mark chapter 5, it doesn't say that his disciples went, but we know that in Matthew 9, it does. A large crowd followed and pressed him. And a woman, in verse 25, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. This is where the detail comes of verse 26. She had suffered a great deal around the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloth because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had come out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes? You see the people crying against you." His disciples answered, "And yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. In verse 34, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." So Mark chapter 5 gives us a little bit of more detail of this woman. Okay, it gives us a little bit more information about her status. Her status. She could afford these doctors. Perhaps, it doesn't say, in my opinion here, that she was a wealthy woman. Maybe a woman of prestige, a woman that could afford. It says the care of many doctors, not one, not two, but many. Doesn't say how much, but she could afford this. She could go to these doctors and try to find a solution or healing or remedy or medication for bleeding. But Mark chapter 5 says, "And yet instead of getting better, she grew worse." She grew worse. The suffering was great. She was perhaps losing hope and running out of options. So in verse 27, it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd. Doesn't say that this woman had a relationship with Christ. Doesn't say that this woman was a follower of Christ. It doesn't say that. It says she heard about Christ. And what did she hear about Christ? I'm assuming, what did she hear? To me, it's obvious that she heard this man has power. This man is a great physician. This man heals and cures. This man is perhaps divine. This man is maybe the true Messiah. Maybe this man is the one I need to go to for my healing. Desperation. Let me say this just to really quickly. You can't come to Christ when you're desperate. You can't come to Christ when we're desperate. We can't. Because he can take it. take that burden. Yes, we have our burdens to carry, but he can take the burden from you. He has power to do so. So we must claim his name. We must go to him. We must be desperate for Christ. If we want a transformation, that's what this woman did. This woman is an example for us. And we'll learn, who is this woman? What is her nationality? Is she a Jew? Is she a Gentile? Who is she? But we know that she was desperate. We know that she needed healing. We know that she needed Christ. And she knew it. That's who we need to be. That's what I want to be. Do you want the same? Let's continue. And we'll go to the last gospel, and then I'll make some comments and read some of the early Christians. And we'll go from there. Luke chapter 8, in verse 40. The same story. Jairus in the synagogue, leader, pleading with Christ to come and heal his daughter. In this time, Luke does say the age of the daughter. And in verse 42, it says, because his only daughter, in Luke chapter 8, verse 42, it says, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. So we have a girl now. It's a description of a daughter has become a girl that was 12 years old. Interesting, right? Coincidence that this woman was bleeding for 12 years, and this girl was 12 years old. This girl was also dying. This woman was dying as well. And let's continue in verse 42. As Jesus was on his way, the crowd almost crushed him. Jesus has thought of perhaps becoming a celebrity here, right? People want things from him. There's crowds everywhere that are perhaps crushing him. In verse 43, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. Now we know that even though she went to doctors and perhaps herbalists and all kinds of people, no one could heal her. No one could heal her. In verse 44, she came up behind him, touched the edge of the cloth, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Jesus said, who touched me? Jesus asked in 45. When they all denied it, Peter said, now we know Peter has a lot of opinions in the Bible, and he's gotten in big trouble because of his opinion. And Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said in verse 46, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. And this power he mentions both in Mark, and now he's mentioned it in Luke. You see this woman, the woman that touched Jesus, Jesus was moved to the point that this power was gone out of him. That is incredible. How can his power be gone out from him as God, as divine? Incredible. The 47, then the woman seen that she can not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet in the presence of all the people. She told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. I want to mention something really quick. It might have significance. It may not. We don't know. We just don't know, right? It may have significance. It may not. But I want you to notice this piece of cloth in Jesus' robe, perhaps. Doesn't say what he was wearing. But again, Jesus grew up in the Jewish tradition. He was a Jew, right? And I was astonished by this cloth that also in the New King James, it mentions to be a hem, a hem. So the piece of cloth, it was a hem, H-E-M. And what is a hem? What is that? So if you go to Exodus chapter 39, you don't have to go there, just read it quickly. Exodus 39, verse 24, they made pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, finely twisted linen around the hem of the robe. This is what the woman touched the hem of the robe, and they made vows of pure gold and attached them around the hem between the pomegranates. What's the whole reason for this? We see this in verse 26. The vows and pomegranates alternated around the hem of the robe to be worn for ministering as the Lord commanded Moses. Jesus perhaps was wearing the same type of robe. We don't know. It doesn't give us any examples of the purple, the pomegranate, the scarlet yarn. But he was wearing some type of robe. And it's amazing because you wear it when you minister as the Lord commanded Moses. Even Jesus, being God and divine, he was an obedient man. He was obedient not only to his Father, he was obedient to the scriptures. And we see that in this priestly garment that they wore. And Jesus was ministering. There was no doubt he was ministering while he was on the way to heal people. Several observations that is amazing about this woman. We don't know if she's a Gentile or a Jew, but we have a clue. We have a clue in Mark chapter 5, verse 34. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." Why didn't Jesus tell her to go and present herself to the priest? Why didn't Jesus tell her to do other things according to the law? Well, you don't have to. If you have your Matthew commentary handy, thank you, Neil, for this. Appreciate you. In page 290 of the Matthew commentary, this is from David Pessoa, the Historic Faith Commentary Series, the book of Matthew, volume 1, chapters 1 to 13. I know Dean has been preaching about this in the Sermon on the Mount. And Chrysostom, he seems to be a big a man that is constantly quoted in the early Christians. And it says in the 292 of this commentary, none of the evangelists state whether the woman was a Jew or Gentile. However, they do give us an important clue. Under the law, this woman would have been unclean, like a leper. However, after healing her, Jesus did not tell her to go and show herself to the priest, as he did with various lepers he healed. Yet if she were a Jew, she would have been required to report to the priest and offer 2 turtle doves or pigeons. The fact Jesus did not send her to the priest suggests she was a Gentile. In fact, the church historian Eusebius, which is really interesting, by the way, the church historian Eusebius specifically states this woman was from the Gentile city of Caesarea Philippi, located in ancient Syria. Eusebius reports that her healing was well known in that city. She became so famous that the pagan inhabitants of Caesarea Philippi built a bronze statue of this woman on a pedestal outside of the gates of her house. Eusebius states that he visited Caesarea Philippi and personally saw the statue. The statue portrayed this woman. Next to her was a figure of a man representing Jesus, extending his hand towards the woman. Chrysostom, the 5th century Christian historian, informs us that Emperor Julian the Apostate later destroyed this famous statue as part of his campaign to eradicate Christianity. Wow. So people knew who this woman was. You see this. The historian states this. She was a Gentile from the city of Caesarea Philippi. She was not a Jew. Yet, we see the enormous power that Jesus had on this woman's life. So, how does it relate to us? It relates because we could also become in a desperate place in our Christian life. Perhaps we have run out of options. We don't know what to do. Perhaps we're struggling through many different things in life, trying to figure out. Maybe we were in a midlife crisis, and we were transitioning to a new job. Maybe we're transitioning from are children becoming adults. Maybe we're transitioning to be empty nesters. You know, we all have very specific situations and very specific challenges in our life. Like this woman, being a Gentile, I have heard people, the testimony of people, not only on YouTube, but other people that told me their testimony. And we see this also, with Muslims around the world too, that God appears to them in dreams and visions, and they have incredible testimonies. You and I, we are a testimony. Remember where you come from. Remember that you and I, we were bleeding like this woman, spiritually. I have bled physically too. When I was in trouble, boy, I have many accidents, and it was not fun to see all my blood all over my body. But we, at one point, were spiritually bleeding, and we needed a cure, and nothing cured us. I know I tried everything. I tried alcohol. I tried, promiscuity, lust. I tried sexual morality. It didn't work. It didn't take away my depression. It didn't take away my sadness. I tried everything. Nothing worked. You see, you could go that road. You could go on that road. You could smoke weed. You could do drugs. You could go on that lonely road. But it's not going to heal you. This is a temporary fix. As a counselor, as a therapist, I can tell you, I deal with people with chronic, not only pain, but chronic spiritual pain. And they're desperate. And we can miss Jesus in the crowd. We can miss him, but this woman did not. This woman was not only desperate, but she was determined to reach Jesus' hand. We have to do the same. So what is this testimony of people that come to Christ? People have said and uttered to Christ, show me your power. Show me that you're there. And the testimony of people say, Christ showed up. And Christ began to transform these people. Praise God. Praise the Lord for this. So you can do two things when you're desperate. You can fully engage in the things of the world, or you can pursue Christ. You only have those two options. I'm sorry. You only have two options. You can pursue sin. You can pursue all the delicacies of when your eye has pleasure. And we know what happened with Solomon. We know what happened to him. He will tell you, it's not worth it. Or we can pursue Christ like this woman did. You see, when we were bleeding, we were in sin. We were distraught. We were in pain, both spiritually and physically. We were without hope. But Jesus showed up. I know he showed up in my life in 1994. When did he show up in your life? He's always showing up. You might be missing him in the crowd because you're following the crowd. This woman knew exactly who she was looking in the crowd. But we must be, maybe we're just following the crowd. And I pray for our children, all of our kids, because I know that the world has tremendous influence on their life. You see, this woman took responsibility. She did something about her situation. She acted. She went to Christ. You see, this also is for something that God in the Old Testament wanted to tell Israel, but they refused to listen. Ezekiel 16 says that they became prostitutes, spiritual prostitutes. And Ezekiel 16, verse 6, it says, then I passed by. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 6, and also in verse 9. Then I passed by and saw you kicking about in your blood. And as you lay there in your blood, I say to you, live. And in verse 9, I bathe you with water and wash the blood from you and put ointments on you. This is personal. God is telling Israel, I did this for you. When you were bleeding, you were kicking about in your blood. You were laying there in your blood. I revived you, Israel. But instead of God becoming the husband, they sought other lovers. And that's who we are too. We seek other things instead of Christ. Let's continue. I know it's been a long message here, but I'll stop in about 5 minutes. You know, if you know Gandhi, you know he has amazing quotes. And let me tell you his quote that I researched. It says, "It is easy to stand in the crowd. It is easy to stand in a crowd, but it takes courage to stand alone." These words are from Mahatma Gandhi. You may feel alone in your pursuit of Christ, perhaps, but Jesus is there. He's waiting for you, and he sees you. And we see this because in Matthew 9:22, he saw this woman. Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. You see, Jesus saw her in the crowd. She pointed her out in the crowd. And I don't have time to read Chrysostom, but Chrysostom would say the reason why he pointed her out, this is an early Christian writer, is to demonstrate the power of Christ to the people, to praise her for her act of courage, to lift her up, to notice her. Christ notices us. Are we noticing Christ? Because Christ is everywhere. Chrysostom also points out that this woman was a wealthy woman, as evidence of what we said, that she could afford all these doctor's appointments. And in conclusion, let us not be afraid. Even when I am insecure, you're insecure, when we're doubtful, even when we don't have the courage, Jesus will strengthen us. He will overcome for us. And this is evidence of John 16, verse 33. In this world, you will have trouble. And we know that this woman had trouble for 12 years of pain and suffering. This is relevant today. You will have trouble in this world. Don't get discouraged, because it says, following this verse, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Other translations say, but take courage, because Christ has overcome for us. Don't be afraid. Be brave. Amen.